This is John Davis reading from my new book, Fearless Now and Nameless. I'd like to thank Daniel Lawless, Amy Beter, and Nancy Mitchell. Wallace Stevens on the Moon. Poetry, too, is weightlessness given form. To hurry here is to walk like a man underwater. The horizon curves and curves, a concordance of mounds and craters, a crepusculum deferring presence. One could choose to praise this scenarial light or, limpid with hope, hominify these estrangements, because poetry is a formal agreement to depose the venue of the actual and launch a cadre of claimants, a clamor of words, an embogement, a clutch of gravitas and trivia we can conjure here in this airless void, even as our labored breathing rushes in our pulse-battered ears, a petulance of petunias, a scrabble of larks. Letter to Hugo from Santa Fe. Sunrise here slaps my tender cheek. One moment I'm dreaming of hard rain. My long dead younger brother next, wham, the room is battered by brazen light. I want the trees to slumber on, to wake in shade a while longer. I want clouds to lug their cargo of rain into the valleys. In fact, I'm full of wants. But the callow sun reminds me there is no hiding place, nothing I can keep and hold. The cars on Agua Fria grumble, the motorcycles shriek, a pandemic of complaints, a plethora of competing wants. My neighbors want it fast and loud. I want this hawk to perch where I can see the intricate regalia of stripe and scallop. Tail feathers stiff, soft underwing, cold eye, beak stropping now against the bones of a finch. Dick, I've never forgotten how, when the sunset smeared that tiny classroom window red, you rose and dragged your failing body just to look. We were halfway to a rousing dismissal of a student poem, but first you had to see the sunset. Spring semester, 1982, you'd be gone by late October. The whole class followed you to see. When you sat back down, you sighed once, glancing at the page as if approaching a plate of squirming earthworms, then raised your moon face to pronounce, "This poem could win a prize." And we all shuddered, suddenly ashamed. The sunrise in Santa Fe is like that, wanting to fill every arroyo with light, touch every chair and table with its genius, glint off every piece of chrome. Who could blame that hawk for wanting just one moment furtive in the juniper to slide its bloody beak like a scalpel down that poor house finch's back, to dip and stir the gristle and the meat, to spread its wings and shield it from our sight. In shadow, Dick, the poet's one true friend. After therapy, I reimagine our life together as a series of movie scenes. To say disaster is another name for man is to generalize from the particular man I have become. Meanwhile, these dishes are smashable, that door slammable. Here, I want to stop and say, I long for the time before I became the problem, the trouble banging on the midnight door, wanting to get back in, ready to claim, dear Jesus of the skewed paintings, Muhammad of the crimped Mustang, Buddha of an emptiness big as a billboard, that I am forever changed. Here, in my bedazzled jumpsuit, my vague hair in a man bun, my eyeliner a wreck. After the credits, the outtakes in which I fumble every important line and you sneeze out your gin fizz, there is that long silence before the lights come up in stages, a stale metaphor for my psychological growth. See, it's a spectrum from lost cause to manimal to fortress defended to a dynamo of carefully chosen I statements. Like these, what I hear you saying is X. Is that correct? As we move from indie drama to rom-com, from rom-com to a fable filmed in the Australian outback, desert in all directions, and yet we slog inexorably toward the horizon beyond which we have imagined a glorious beach, waves breaking green to white froth, emblems of hope and renewal, though the soundtrack birds are ominously Brazilian. And my newly inscribed adulting is as ephemeral as words traced across your back. The I heart you that in the opening scene made you turn and smile over your tanned shoulder, but now suggests a cutaway to turns, lancing the waves, full of hope, though they come up fishless again and again. Is that a fair assessment? Am I reading you correctly? What I'm feeling from you right now is what the room must feel at 3 a.m. when the ice maker shudders and clatters, spilling cubes into an empty tray. At Kilreelig. If experience is what gives the world its shape, the fundament and glyph, the hearkening ear of everything, then the frogs chorusing in the bog are the heterodox archangels of County Kerry. Or so I thought. I was walking alone from Kilreelig to Ballinskellig's, joyful somehow in the cold rain. The fields were green and calm, the stone walls rain slick and bright with lichen. The roadside sheep were dripping, and the red-slashed ewe had just given birth to a trembling lamb, unbeautiful and bleeding, the umbilical still dangling from its mud-sopped belly, torn, it seemed, from my own imagination, my own body torn from the fundament. The rain pattered my hood, and out in the Atlantic, sunlight shuddered across the fog-bound Skelligs, Little Skellig and Skellig Michael, whose gray stone flank monks once climbed daily to worship in the unremarkable air, while the lambs, in the grief of it, in their separate flesh, took their first frail steps, surprised, no doubt, to be separate, to be alone and shivering among clouds thick as wool, pelting rain, the frog choir's annunciation and groan. Against deliverance. My mother believed in nothing, and to nothing was delivered, while firebirds circled the chimney, while I drove from exit to exit, eastern Pennsylvania, and nowhere to sleep, to sell a handful of books to the citizens of Nashville I'd driven, to see Rancid and my nephew and return. Driving was battering lights, darkness, and fear. Driving was 20 feet of road and music. Lord, I'm going uptown. I'd been to Nashville and was returning. When the call came, I could not answer. The last time I'd visited, she said she'd read the online stories. The last time I'd visited, she said she now knew what I'd tried to tell her. I thought of him standing beside the bed, this friend of the family. But he never touched my boys, she'd said, digging into the my. My mother believed in nothing, and to nothing was delivered. While I drove through Pennsylvania near midnight without a place to sleep, the message said, she's passed. While firebirds circled the chimney, gone as she wanted to be gone, despite everything or because of it, four sons dead, and yet she'd continued. When I finally slept, it was a dreamless sleep. Fine then, I thought, waking to a ceiling washed by parking lot lights. Just go.